This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They handle it all. Maybe it's in bundles, but they'll do everything they can to make sure you are A, fully insured, B, save you money. Customer service is the standard all the time. With the great people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay, so now let's get to the tournament. We'll start in the East. I mean, nothing was really, did it really matter who the number one overall seed was? No, because if it was UConn, they would have gone to Boston. If it was Purdue, they would have gone to Detroit. If it was Houston, it would have gone to Dallas. Well, in the end, UConn's the one, and they went to Boston. Purdue's going to go to Detroit, and Houston's going to Dallas. Okay, so it wouldn't have mattered. So here we go. UConn's the defending national champion, 31-3. Right, terrific year. Newton, the point guard, is tremendous. Klingon inside is excellent. But you know what's a little bit different about UConn this year? They are not a high-tempo team. They play at a slower pace, a more deliberate pace. Let's see at some point if somebody's able to hang with them and hit some shots where the number of possessions is somewhat reduced in a game, in part because of what one team's doing and in part because that's how UConn plays. Let's see if that becomes a factor in any game, because UConn is in the bottom 20% in tempo this season. They take on Doug McDaniels entering the transfer portal. That's breaking news from Michigan. I could have told you that last week. All right. breaking news.
Is he going in the portal only for away games?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. As these things settle in, I'll have some comments to make about some of these guys. They're going to get Stetson in the opening round, 16 seed. I think Donnie Jones, their coach, was an assistant at Florida when Penn State beat them in the NIT in 2009. But look, I mean, Stetson's a good team that won 9 of the last 11, but UConn, let's face it, they get through. Hey, two teams I saw in person this year a couple of times, Florida Atlantic and Northwestern. Remember, Florida Atlantic, Penn State didn't play them, but they were in the tournament in Orlando, and I saw them play a couple times. All five starters back from last year's Florida Atlantic team, and you can see it, Todd. They are very cohesive with the starting lineup. But at the same time, some people have caught on to how they play. All right? You know, they won the tournament down there, Butler, Texas A&M beat Virginia Tech. They beat Arizona this year. But it was a mixed bag for them down the stretch, and they got Northwestern. Chris Collins has done a phenomenal job. If they have Ty Berry, if Northwestern has Ty Berry, there's no question I move Northwestern on. But Ty Berry's out. He will not play. So they're going to have to mix and match at the guard spot. That means Martinelli is going to have to play more. Now, he's bigger. He's 6'7", primarily a left-handed player. Here's one of the great trivia questions, which I don't have an answer for yet. But can you think of two other brothers that are the all-time leading scorers at different schools? Boo Booey is the all-time leading scorer at Northwestern, more than 2,000 points. His brother, Taylor Battle, is the all-time leading scorer at Penn State. How about that? I don't know if there's any other brother combination in Power 6 basketball that has that. where they're the all-time leading scorers at their respective schools.
When you find out the answer, you should save it for Friday and stump us both. Oh.
I mean, it's unreal. Because Dick and I have talked about it, we can't think of anybody. I mean, it's not the same school, different schools, and both in the Power 6, because we include the Big East in the Power 6. San Diego State, UAB. All right. So, San Diego State made the Final Four last year. They did not play well down the stretch. Did not. UAB actually played decently down the stretch. And it's not as if UAB hasn't had a level of consistency. I know they were in the NIT final last year. But, I mean, they've won 20 or more four straight years. So, I mean, they're a good program. San Diego State has been a mixed bag. Right? I mean, they're only 4-4 in their last eight. So let's just see how that's going to be an interesting one. Auburn-Yale is all about tempo. Auburn wants to push it. Yale, James Jones, is a really good coach, Todd. Really good coach. But they also play at a very slow, deliberate pace. They're in the among the 40 slowest teams tempo-wise in the country. So pace is going to mean everything there, which means Yale needs to hit shots. If you're going to play at that pace, you need to hit shots. So the first 12 minutes of that game will tell you something. If Yale's hitting shots, Auburn is going to be in for a tough time. Also, when a team plays at a deliberate tempo, sometimes the team that wants to play fast, they'll get the ball, let's go! Like, just slow down, get a good shot, and you get bad shots sometimes when that happens. You can get a team out of kilter because of your tempo. BYU-Duquesne, I talked about Ray Goss, 55 years. He's been the play-by-play voice. They're going. They did a great job in the tournament. They have now won. I mean, it's not as if Duquesne hit the jackpot this weekend and won the Atlantic 10. They won 8 in a row, you know. They've won 10 of their last 11. They're actually playing pretty well. BYU I like for the most part. I watched them play a game against Iowa State, and I watched the last 4 minutes of the game, and neither Iowa State nor BYU hit a shot from the field. Like, it was so bad that I kept watching. Okay. All right, Illinois, Morehead State. Here's the irony: saw both these teams in person this year, and Penn State beat both of them. So we'll start with Morehead State. This is where I give them a lot of credit. And they had their leading scorer hurt his wrist in the preseason and lost him for the year, and they still went 26-8. And among those losses they had, of the eight losses, their non-conference losses were to Penn State, Indiana, Purdue, and Alabama. Like, they went out and played people. Now they're trying to get, obviously, I mean, they're playing people because they're trying to get money into the athletic department, but they did. Illinois is, I think, arguably the most athletic team in the Big Ten. Shannon flies like the wind, but he's not the only one on that team that's a really good athlete. I think they're going to need a little bit more out of Coleman Hawkins. He played tired, I thought, down the stretch. But he's an excellent inside-out player and will be a tough guard for Morehead State. Washington State, Drake. Okay? Drake has won 10 of its last 11 games. All right? And you get them in a tight game, like single digits. They've won their last 7 games in single digits. This is where I give them credit. They're playing Indiana State for the Valley Championship in St. Louis. And they build up an 18-point lead. And Indiana State, to its credit, comes all the way back and not only catches them, but takes the lead. And Drake resurrected itself. You know how hard mentally that is? I mean, Todd, you've seen it 1,000 times, where one team catches the other, takes the lead, and the other team doesn't recover. All right? They're too emotionally spent. Drake got themselves back on track, won the game. That's hard to do. Washington State is a team that I can't figure out. I watched their Colorado game, and I watched their Washington regular season finale. And each time they had the lead, and each time in the second half, they squandered it and just didn't look good playing. Just didn't look good. I mean, that's when I'm looking. If my gut's telling me, pick Drake. Iowa State, South Dakota State. It's interesting, a lot of people at Iowa State on the one line, when they brought out the ratings, Iowa State wasn't close to being on the one line. I mean, they're on the two line, but they weren't close to being a one. I think they were like a 7 overall. But their defense is just outstanding. And they held Houston to 41 points. Houston only shot 27% from the field. And that's where Iowa State, you know, I talked about the Iowa State BYU game. Defense was critical, but also BYU played lousy offense in that game. But Iowa State's defense is top shelf. South Dakota State, hey, look, I mean, they're in the tournament again. They've never won a tournament game. And that's why they'll be a prohibitive underdog. North Carolina against the winner of Howard Wagner. We all know about North Carolina. Everybody knows about North Carolina. Top 10 defensive efficiency. Excellent. R.J. Davis is a terrific player. Baycott inside. Look, Howard's back in second straight year. Last year they were out in Des Moines with where Penn State was last year playing Kansas. And then they have Wagner. Wagner only has 7 scholarship players. 7. They have 7 scholarship players. They're averaging 64 points a game. And in terms of tempo, when you only have 7 scholarship players, how slow is the game? Well, they're 360 out of 362 in terms of tempo. So that's in Dayton. Enjoy yourselves watching that game this week. Mississippi State, Michigan State. Mississippi State is a terrific defensive team. The problem is they are not a great offensive team. They're not a great shooting team. You're talking about 32% in threes. You're talking about 67% at the free throw line. They don't help themselves. Michigan State is a team that is difficult to figure out. This is one of the least athletic teams that Tom Izzo has had. But Walker, you know, I think highly of Walker and Malik Hall, both of them. I think very highly of both. Their post players are good, not great. That's a problem. They're good, not great. Hogard is still very much of an up-and-down product as a point guard. And there are moments he puts Trey Holloman in there, and even though Holloman is not a great defender, he is a very good offensive player. No getting around it. That's a tough call on that one, because in the last 8 games, Michigan State's 2-6. St. Mary's Grand Canyon. Eh? Gales, Lopes. Lopes, Gales. Okay. St. Mary's plays at its own pace. And remember, St. Mary's ended up 26-7. They started out the year at 3-5. All right, that means they're 23-2 since. 15-1 in their conference. And they also play at a deliberate pace. Grand Canyon, they want to play like the Lopes. All right. And by the way, they beat San Diego State this year. This is a really good game. Charleston and Alabama. Alabama can flat out score. You know how many times they cracked 100 this year?
Seven.
Nine times. You were close, Todd. You were close. Nine times. And when Penn State played Alabama, they beat them in the Jordan Center when Nate Oates was the head coach. Came into the Jordan Center, and we're doing the pregame. And I set up Dick Girardi, and I said, there are three things Nate Oates wants offensively. Layups, free throws, and threes. Well, they shoot threes, and they do it in volume. And they're good at it. They average, they're 36.5% in three, right? Well, they average 30 attempts per game. Wow. But you know what's interesting? They're not a great defensive team at all. They played nine games against ranked teams this year. You know what Alabama's record is in those nine games? They're 2-7. Now you got Charleston. Now this is a lot of the same team I saw last year. And they're just a good, cohesive team. I like Charleston. I think they're going to be able to give Alabama a little bit of a tussle here. Clemson, New Mexico. A lot of the same team I saw last year when I went down to South Carolina to do that game. When the center decided to come back, that made a big difference for them. And when they're hitting their threes, you can't touch them. If Clemson hits 40% of their threes or better, they are 11-0. But they're also coming off their worst loss of the season. BC blew them out by 21. But they beat Alabama this year. They beat South Carolina. Richard Pitino has done a great job in New Mexico. Down the stretch, though, not great. They were 4-6, and then they won four straight games in their conference tournament. Credit where credit's due. Okay? Baylor and Colgate. Maybe we get Doug to talk about this. Baylor this year beat Auburn, Florida, Seton Hall, but they lost to Michigan State and Duke. And then they ran through the Big 12 tournament. Okay? Good team. Athletic team. Colgate, this is, in my opinion, and Doug may disagree with me on this is not the best Colgate team to win the Patriot. You know, obviously I saw them in person last year out in Des Moines. They have some of those guys back. I know they went through 16-2 in the Patriot. They won 25. But I just, like Bucknell had them on the ropes up in Hamilton. Now, that speaks to what John Griffin's done. That speaks to what Bucknell's done and how much better they've been able to get. But I just sense that this Colgate team is not quite as good as the other Colgate teams. And I'm not sure the Baylor matchup's a good one for them. Dayton and Nevada. Okay, Dayton and Nevada. All right. Dayton, the good news is for season tickets, they went undefeated at home. The bad news is you don't play any home games in the NCAA tournament. Okay? And they only went 5-4 in their last nine games. Now, Nevada got off to a great start, 15-1. All right. Then after that, they went 11-6. All right. That should be a good one. And then finally, we'll finish out with this one, then take a break. Arizona, Long Beach State. Now, we all know Arizona, Caleb Love, what he's meant. Right. They had great wins. They beat Michigan State. They beat Alabama. They beat Wisconsin. They beat Duke. And then they had really weird losses. Stanford, Oregon State. They've lost two of their last three. And then there's Long Beach State. Here's the big one. They came into the Big West tournament losing five in a row. And so they agreed with Dan Munson before the start of the Big West tournament, hey, after 17 years, let's part ways. We'll let you coach the tournament. And they won the tournament. He's still coaching. Oh, yay, yay. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, so we have half the bracket done. We're going to do the last half of the bracket in the next half hour. Last year, the Soup bragged about having a perfect bracket. Then we realized he was filling out the brackets after the games were done.
If it was a perfect bracket, you'd be a millionaire.
Well, based on the method with which he filled out the bracket, that's why he's not a millionaire.
It's practice for doing it perfect this year, maybe. Doubt it.
Well said. All right. All right. Doug, by the way, texts me. He agrees with the assessment of Colgate. Really good, but not as good as the last couple of Colgate teams. But it depends. You know, it also depends on the matchup too. Baylor, last year they played Texas. Of course, I intently watched that game last year. Matt Lengel's a good coach. We know that.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, I was listening to that liver commercial. I thought there was a commercial about James Bond. You ask a lot of your liver. Bond's liver was working overtime.
I've heard it in the background why I'm not paying particular attention, but that's what I always think of it too.
Yeah, I know. This half hour, hey, let's stock up for the tournament. Let's stock up for wrestling as well. Big weekend. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. The roasted peanuts freshen out every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Stock up now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. It is a couch potato weekend. All right. Wrestling, basketball, fun. All right? And it's not exactly going to be the warmest weekend coming up either. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So now let's get to the other half of the bracket here. Houston, Longwood. Okay.
Sounds like an oil man.
I am. I mean, look, this is a 116 here. Houston's defense is just outstanding. I mean, number two rated, but just watch them play. They play beautiful defense. Iowa State just flat out tore them apart. I mean, tore them apart. And Longwood's not them. All right. Longwood started out 12-1, lost 10-12, then won 7 of their last 8. But Houston should win the game by 15-20. Nebraska, Texas A&M saw both teams in person this year. Broadcast both teams this year. the Trev Alberts Bowl. Trev Alberts leaves as the athletic director at Nebraska to become the athletic director at Texas A&M.
Really?
Somebody had a sense of humor in Carmel, Indiana. And it came time to bracket this one. I like Nebraska's team. Keisei Tominaga, terrific outside shooter. But Rink Mast has made a huge difference. The transfer from Bradley, an inside-out center. Alec, they got him to transfer in. He's actually a Lincoln guy. He actually is from Lincoln. All right. Lawrence off the bench has always been a wild card to me. And he's been a wild card who's gone from being a negative to being a wild card that is a positive. Lawrence has given them instant offense off the bench, and I really like Fred's son, Sam Hoiberg. He brings energy, good decision-making. Now, Texas A&M, Radford and Wade Taylor, the backcourt, are really good. But up front, they're not the same mix as last year. And here's the part. If Nebraska is a good defensive rebounding team, they will win the game by 5 to 10 points. Why? Because the missed shot is an important part of the Texas A&M offense. All right? They're number one in the country in offensive rebounds per game. Texas A&M is. The missed shot is a key part of their offense. And they miss a lot of shots. They're not a great shooting team. And it's interesting about Taylor. I know everybody talks about him. He's this. Look, I've done two games where Wade Taylor has played against Penn State. And you know what? Each time, Todd, I didn't walk out of the gym impressed by him. Either time. Radford impressed me, but not Taylor. I don't know.
He's one of those guys that's really good until it's time for the ball to leave his hand, and sometimes the jump shot just isn't there sometimes.
Right, I know. So, Wisconsin-James Madison should be one heck of a game. We all know that Wisconsin got off to a great start. They were 16-4, and one of the losses was to Penn State, 77-73. Here. It was a terrific game. And then they hit the skids. They lost four in a row. The last 11, they went 3-8. And then all of a sudden in the Big Ten tournament, they come right back out. And they play a terrific game, clobbered Maryland, beat Purdue, and played really well. You know, Crowell's a good inside-out player. Wall's a good, tough player. But A.J. Storr's the difference maker. He's the athlete that's a different element. Klesmit's a good shooter, and Hepburn, I've talked about his defense. But Storr's the difference maker. He is the athlete that they've been aching to have now for a few years. And he played really well in the Big Ten tournament. James Madison, remember, they opened the season, beat Michigan State. And they started out 14-0. Well, guess what? Okay? Talk about they started the season with 14 straight wins. They ended the season with 13 straight wins. They're a good team. They're a good team. That is one to watch for in a 5-12 right there. Duke, Vermont. Duke is not as good as America thinks they are. They are good, but they are not great. Their perimeter shooting can be outstanding. Okay? But when they are not shooting the ball well from three, they run into trouble. So here is the key. That's the whole ball game for them. When they win, they shoot 39% from three. When they lose, they shoot 33% from three. And I hear the suit in the background not selling anything. All right. Vermont is a good team. John Becker's done a great job with them. Third straight NCAA tournament appearance. They'll give Duke a fight for a while. Texas Tech, NC State. Okay. Texas Tech does not play at a high tempo. But they're efficient. And their offensive and defensive efficiency, both in the top 50. and they don't mind shooting the three, and they're pretty good at it, 36.5%. NC State is interesting. We all know that UConn is the other Power 6 team to win five games in a conference tournament, and they then went on to win the national championship. Okay, now for NC State. It's a veteran team. No getting around it. All right? Burns, the big guy in the middle, I do mean big. All right? Diarra, everybody. All right? The guard play is very good. But before the ACC tournament run, exactly how many quad one wins did NC State have? One. That's before the ACC tournament. At one. I mean, they lost their last four games before the ACC tournament. Who the heck saw this coming?
I don't even think the Wolfpack saw it coming.
No, and the question is going to be, where are their legs and their minds after doing that? Again, UConn did it and then won the national championship with Kemba Walker and those guys back in 2011. I'm not banking on that with this group.
Yeah, I don't see Kemba Walker on that floor.
No. Kentucky-Oakland. The Raiders. No, just kidding. they're actually the Grizzlies. And Greg Campy, the coach at Oakland, has been there for 40 seasons. All right? Good coach. Played a terrific non-conference schedule. Beat Xavier. They also played Michigan State, Dayton, Drake, Illinois, Ohio State. I mean, they played a tournament field. All right? And they'll play Kentucky. Look, Kentucky, John Calipari's MO has been defense, defense, defense. This year he's thrown everything into the offense. All right? And they're averaging nearly 90 points per game. They're shooting 41% from three. They're not a good defensive team. And when you shoot a lot of threes, what don't you shoot usually? A lot of free throws. Oh. So they need to have their shots fall. Now, they'll beat Oakland. But I'm just saying, watch out for that. Boise State, Colorado against Florida, the winner of that game. The irony is I saw Boise State play a couple times in person this year. They were in the tournament Penn State played in Orlando, and I liked them. I thought they were a cohesive team. They were in their third straight NCAA tournament. They've got decent size. And again, I like their cohesion a lot. Never won a tournament game. Mountain West is good. They're a good team. They'll play Colorado State. Now, Penn State played and beat Colorado. Colorado. And again, this one, personally like Tad Boyle. Tad Boyle's been on our show. I've run into him at tournaments. Just personally like him. Mark Johnson, their play-by-play guy. I like him a lot. Now, Mark Johnson has nothing to do with winning and losing. I'm just saying I like the guy. Good team. Got to the Pac-12 championship game. And played well. I think this is a good first four matchup, a really good first four matchup. Marquette, Western Kentucky. Marquette, good team, really good team. Won 54 games now the last 2 years. Western Kentucky, they are fast, fast, fast. I mean, I've been talking about slow tempo teams. This isn't it. They are the fastest tempo team in the country. They went into the Conference USA tournament, and they lost four in a row. And then won the conference tournament title in Conference USA. Midwest, Purdue, Montana State, Grambling. Montana State, they're down in the first half by 8 to Montana, and then blew them out.
Montana blew State has a local kid on it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Aiden Gare from Loyal Sock went to a community college and then ended up at Montana State.
Well, guess what? They're the only team in the field that doesn't have a winning record.
Well,
they're 17-17, third straight NCAA tournament appearance, But you know what? In the last eight games, they went 6-2. Grambling, first time ever in the NCAA tournament. Okay? Now, in the non-con, they played a lot of teams. Dayton, Drake, Florida, Colorado, Iowa State. All right? They will get Purdue. Look, Purdue, no matter what, when you lose to Little Rock, you lose to North Texas, you lose to St. Peter's, you look to Fairleigh Dickinson, you don't take anybody lightly. Okay? And we all know about the key to Purdue is whether Braden Smith's the key, the point guard. He's the engine that makes them go. Edie's the star. Lawyer is a good shooter, not a great defensive player. Gillis is a terrific guy off the bench and a good three-point shooter. And Lance Jones is the difference maker as an athlete that they didn't have last year. Utah State TCU. All right. Utah State has played eight games this season decided by 5 points or less in regulation. And won all eight. As opposed to Maryland, which went 1-10 in games decided by five or less. TCU? Okay. They've made it to three consecutive tournaments for the first time in program history. And Jamie Dixon has a good team that plays at a high level, played in a great conference. Gonzaga McNeese. This is not the best Gonzaga team ever. But you know what? The odd thing is they're still in the top 10 in offensive efficiency. Right? Lost to St. Mary's in the title game. And, you know, they played Purdue, lost. Played UConn, lost. They won at Kentucky, which was a great win. They also beat St. Mary's along the way. They split with them during the regular season. But McNeese, as you know, I am not in any way, shape, or form a Will Wade fan. As you know. But he sure does churn out teams that win. They won 30 games this year. And I watched them. I watched the tape. Because it was right before the Penn State-Michigan game in the Palestra. I watched the McNeese-Michigan game. And guess what? They beat the game. They won. And they look good doing it. They also beat VCU, too, on the road.
They're really small, aren't they?
Not a big team at all, but they're quick. Good shot selection. Yep. LSU is still smarting from sanctions from the Will Wade era, but not McNeese State. They've got them. Kansas and Samford. Kansas desperately needs Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough back. They do. They just do. They are not playing well. I mean, they've lost four of their last five games. Samford, 29-5, 15-3 in the SoCon. Okay? Lost to VCU and then won 17 consecutive games. Opening game of the season, by the way, Samford lost by 43 at Purdue. I think they recovered. South Carolina, Oregon. Oregon stole a bid. Coming into the Big Ten, older team. Played well down the stretch. Beat UCLA, Arizona, Colorado. After going 1-5 against those same teams in the regular season. They were 13-3 at one point. Then they went 7-8 over a 15-game span. Then down the stretch, played well. They get South Carolina. South Carolina played one of the worst non-conference schedules in the history of man. Most of the teams were ranked 330 or lower. But you know what? When they finally got into conference play and played some quad one games, they went 5-5. Right? And they were 13-4 in games decided by 8 points or less. Creighton, Akron. Akron stole a bid when Kent State made a big mistake late in the MAC title game. Creighton can flat out shoot it. They can flat out shoot it. And remember, it was that kind of shooting that beat UConn by 19 in Omaha. Texas against Virginia, Colorado State. Not the same Texas team that Penn State played last year. They still have Hunter in the backcourt. They still have Dylan Dessou up front. And Mitchell, but they're not quite the same team that they were last year. They played a tough schedule, but you know what? They only went against 2-7 against teams with winning records in the Big 12. Virginia, all right? One of the best scoring defenses, 59.6 points a game. But offensively, just to their credit, dreadful may not be a strong enough word to watch offensively. They're dreadful. And you know what really kills them? When you play at that slow a pace and you're only a 63.7% free throw shooting team, that's a killer. Colorado State, I saw last year. Penn State beat them down in Charleston, and Stevens, their top player, could not play and was out for the year. Well, they got him back, and what a difference it's made. Okay, they started the season 13-1. They beat Creighton, they beat Colorado, they beat New Mexico. Then in the Mountain West, they were up and down. They were 10-8. But you know what? They're in. And you know, I think they can beat Colorado. Then Tennessee, and yes, they're back, St. Peter's. Okay? Now, four players from the St. Peter's team that went to the Elite Eight, right? Latrell Reed, Brent Bland, Umar Diami, and Mohamed Sow are all on this year's roster. Now, none of them, I would like to point out, were major contributors 2 years ago, but they were on the roster, so they got to watch it. Tennessee, look, Dalton Knex had a terrific year, SEC Player of the Year, and he accounted for more than one quarter of all the Tennessee points this year. How about that? He accounted for more than one quarter of their points this year. 26.5% he scored. But he's never played in the tournament before because he was at Northern Colorado. So here we go. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. In the Kent State-Akron game, Akron's in, John Gross's team gets in. But Julius Rollins, with 4 seconds to go, Kent State scores and takes the lead, and Julius Rollins thought they were behind, and he deliberately committed a foul. Rob Senderoff, who's the head coach at Kent State, told him afterward, if that's the worst thing that ever happens to you in 50 years, you'll live a charmed life. Tomorrow the sun's going to come up. And he said he
blamed it. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.